I don't know really. I feel like I've been built up a little too much.
Y'all may have took your offering up way too quick. I may not be able to preach a lick. Can't without the Lord, that's for sure. I looked out and I see folks from my home church, and I don't get to be with them much, but boy, it does me good when I see them come around. A lot of my family is here, and you've heard from some of them, but if they all get started, it'd be all right with me. The Lord's in it, it'll work, won't it? God begins to move, and I come, some of y'all don't know me, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You might be better off, but I will say this tonight. God saved my soul as a 9-year-old boy, and I was bowed on an old altar place, and my home church, our mourner's bench is right there, the way it's laid out. It's been there for years. And we've been criticized because that's the mourner's bench. I don't know that it exactly tells us where it needs to be, but I do believe you need to have one in there. But I'll say that Wednesday night, it worked for me. And I know it ain't that bench that done anything for me, but I'm glad that night I met the Lord there as a young boy. I've not always lived like I ought to have lived. I've not always walked as close to him as I should have. And I've paid for those things and had to repent for those things. But boy, I have found this. When I'll get myself out of the way and just let him have his way, he knows a lot more about how to handle my life than I do. And he's been good to me. And I've been a trying for, I don't know, the last time I was here, I was trying to think, it's probably been 20, maybe 25 years ago, I guess. I've been preaching about 31 or 32 years, somewhere in there. That don't really matter. It don't make me no better. Still takes the Lord. Don't matter if God just called a man yesterday or today, it still takes the Lord. And you'll never learn how to preach until you just learn how to let the Lord use you. And that's about the best advice I could give a young preacher, is just get you a praying spot and pray hard. And somebody said, now preacher, it takes studying. It does take studying. But you stay on your knees and pray, and God will lay some scripture on your heart. And don't you try to figure it out. You just trust him. And if you'll trust him, he'll give you what you stand in need of. And I've been looking forward to coming this way, and I see folks that I've worked with. I see folks that I married a year or two ago, and it does me good. And you may say tonight, boy, I wonder how long he's going to keep us. And I don't have any intentions of keeping you no long time as far as my part. But there is a thought the Lord's laid on my heart, and it's my duty to leave that with you. And it may not be what you come to hear. And I had some friends I worked with, and they didn't hardly believe like I did. When I told them about being called to preach, and they didn't really fully understand it. And a few years later, they asked me how I got my sermons. I said, well, I just pray till God gives me something. And he said to me, he said, well, what if them people don't want to hear that day? And I said, well, they'll just have to leave, because that's all I know. I don't know nothing else. I can't, there's no way tonight, even if I took a poll here, they would be probably very few out of the number that's here that would agree on what you would like to hear a message on tonight. So there'd be no way a man could bring a message that's going to please everybody here. But God knows the hearts here tonight, and he knows the needs. And that would be my desire, to just preach his preaching and let his word fall right where he wants it to fall. And it'll be, some of it'll be to me, and some of it'll be to you. And let's just worship the Lord tonight, and let's let him have his way. I wonder if there's anybody that's God's a stirring your heart right here, and you need to You need to move for the Lord. If there is, you be obedient to him. If not, you pray for us for just a few minutes that God might just open to us this scripture here. It's just a real small thought that God's placed on my heart, sort of just laid there earlier in the week, and this scripture seemed like it's just lingered there, and we had service this morning, had service Wednesday night at the nursing home, tried to preach there, but seemed like this scripture has just sort of lingered back there, and the Lord's left it here, so you pray that God would take it and use it tonight. This is over in Proverbs. If you want to read, I'll read out of the Proverbs 24, and I'll read just a few verses there. I'm going to start with the 30th verse and read I'll read the rest of those, and they ain't but four of them. Then I'm going to turn over to Ecclesiastes in the 10th chapter and read just one verse there. And if you want to write that down, or if you want to turn and read with us, and I'll try not to make any mistakes, but you just pray for us and listen to God's word tonight. Proverbs 24, verse 30. He said, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And in Ecclesiastes, in the 10th chapter, in the 18th verse, and folks around Caney Fork that's here tonight have heard some of this in the months past, maybe about God laid a message on my heart about our hands. And I don't think I read from these verses, but 10th chapter and the 18th verse says, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. And now tonight, I hope nobody leaves here. You're not used to me, and I hope you don't leave here thinking, boy, he's come down here from the country up there, and he thinks he's so much better than us, and he's come down here to get all over us, and I can't come down here tonight to get on you. I've come down here tonight to preach to you what God has placed on my heart, and slothfulness seemed like was the word that he just seemed like fastened it on my heart earlier in the week, and I thought, Lord, I don't know really which direction you want me to go with that. We could say lots of things, and I will say this tonight, and we, most of us here, thought about the brother who Uncle Wayne said had maybe mentioned me, Brother Lowe, and he had been here, I believe he said, for 60-some years that he had been around this place. And that's a long time, ain't it? That's a long time to be in one place, and God had blessed you well enough with life that you could come to one place and worship him. And he knowed my grandpa, and he mentioned him, you know, about how that he had heard him preach. But I thought, boy, that's a long time. But I'll say tonight, we everyone as God's children, if we be real honest, we could look around us, and in those days that he's seen gone by, days that my grandpa growed up in, and the days that my uncle had talked about that we was raised in, we're living in a time that seemed like people aren't as work-brigal as they once used to be. Our jobs are different, aren't they? Back then, most folks farmed, and their work and their day's work was spent out in the hot sun from daylight till dark. And they knew, see, this is the thing about it. It wasn't about how much money you could make back then. It was about surviving and making a living for your family and providing them with food enough to make it through the winter. Now, what we think about most all the time, and I'm not pointing fingers from you. There's people here tonight. I worked with the highway department for a little over 28 years, and I retired from that job and went and got me another.
And people call me double dipper now. And they say, boy, you've got all kinds of money. I'm not money hungry, but I like to stay busy. I don't like to be idle about certain things. Listen, you may say tonight, why, Brother Tim, what's your purpose? Listen, I thought about this slothfulness here. I thought about the proverb that was written there. Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote, he also has credit for the Proverbs. And the Bible said in one place about Solomon that there was never a man like before him or after. His wisdom that God gave him was beyond anything that man had had before or since. You know why? Because he desired wisdom. James said in one place, I may be awful scattered tonight, but James said in one place, I believe it's James, might be in the first chapter there, but he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. See, what our world needs today, people say we need more knowledge. Our kids need to be smarter. We need wisdom. There's lots of knowledge out there, but it's not the knowledge of God. You see what I'm saying? What we've done is there's a slothfulness about us as God's people. And what we've done is we've got caught up in, if you will allow the expression, we've got caught up in the rat race of the world, trying to keep up with everything that's out there, that we've got slothful around the house of God. We've got slothful. And I don't know how it is down here. I don't preach in this area very much. I've preached at Old Union. I've helped in some revivals, 2 or 3 out there. But I'm not down in this area very much. It seems like the Lord's never let us get down this way. Most of my preaching's been back up in Barron, Monroe, Allen, back up that way, the edge of Tennessee a little bit. I mean, back in those areas. That's sort of where it seemed like God has let me stay. But I thought, I'm just thinking back to the old days when this brother over here mentioned how long he had been around here. I thought, boy, he's seen some great revivals. Ain't no doubt in my mind. I've been preaching for 30 years or a little over. And I was in one meeting. I'll tell you this here. And please don't. It's not patting me on the back. But I was in one meeting that went on at my home church. I believe it liked one night. My brothers here probably remember that better than me. But I believe it liked one night going on a month. I think there was 16 or 17 got saved in that meeting. And that's the only one. I've been in another one that went on a little over a month. There wasn't that many saved, but boy, it was a reviving for the church and even the community. See, that's what a revival is. A lot of times people say, let's just be honest. When revival starts and it goes for about 3 or 4 nights and you see your neighbor out yonder that sort of knows you're in revival, first thing they ask you is what? I won't ask you to answer that to me, but I can tell you what it is. How's y'all's crowds holding up? Almost always. Y'all having good crowds? Do you know revival's not about a crowd? I hope a crowd comes, but I'll say this. If the church gets revived, the crowd will come. You know why? Because the power of God and the Spirit of God will get to stirring among God's people's hearts that when we leave this place, we won't be slothful. But we'll go to our workplaces and we'll say, boy, you should have been at church last night. You ought to have seen God come through that place and begin to use His people and begin to deal with lost sinners and draw them down to a place that they could repent. Now, I know tonight that I ain't nothing to look at. I thought about what old Paul said in one place. Paul said, Uncle Wayne was sort of building me up. I appreciate all of that. And my family's here tonight. I love you all. And you know what an inspiration you've been to me as in my growing up. And most of us have worshiped together through the years. And boy, what a blessing it's been. But I'll say this even to us as the Strode family people. Listen, I'm going to say through the years, our hands have got slothful in the work of the Lord. Our hands have got slothful. We're too busy with the things out yonder. You may say, now, Brother Tim, you don't know that much about us. Listen, tonight I thought of what this proverb, what Solomon began to see. And he said, I went by the field of the slothful, by the man that was void of understanding. He said, I seen it was growed up I seen that stone wall that was there. It was broken down. I read that and I thought about the wall over there that Nehemiah had a vision about. And you know, Nehemiah wasn't even in that country. But he had seen the glory. He had seen the beauty. He had seen it in its array. And he began to hear word would come in from his home country about how the walls were broken down and the gates were fell in. People couldn't even travel in and out the city no more. And boy, he began to have a yearning in his heart to want to see that wall built back. And that city built back to a place that people could come in and out. And I'll say this tonight. You may not have come to hear some old country preacher get a little loud and cry a little bit and maybe sweat a little. You may not have come to hear that. But boy, I wish we could get a vision of how even, did you know there's lots of places around home, around where I was raised, that used to be powerhouses. The old saints of God wasn't slothful. They had their prayer places and they visited them. And you know what would happen? Their doors were open and people would come in and they'd come out and they would find the sweetness of the Lord. People maybe that had been away, somebody said, well, preacher, are you preaching to lost sinners tonight or are you preaching? Listen, it may hit every one of us tonight. But I'm telling you, in those, somebody said, you're one of them preachers that lives back in the old days. You relive them. Hey, I ain't but 53-year-old. I'm not as old as I look. I'm not back in them old days. I wasn't raised in the horse and buggy days. But I was raised in the times that God's people had not the slothfulness around his house. Listen, it may not be that way here, but on Sunday mornings where I pastor, my home church, a lot of them's here tonight, and I know it's that way there. But on Sunday mornings, we would probably hold at both. There's not a whole lot of difference in the size of them churches, I don't guess, as far as the way they're built and how many they'll hold. But we'd probably hold, I don't know, 200 or 300, wouldn't we? I think somewhere Fountain Run would hold that many. Caney Fork's not far behind that. We would hold that many. But on Sunday morning, we'll have 150, maybe. 100 to 150, Caney Fork, Fountain Run, probably a little more than that. I'm just throwing out numbers here. You know, I pastored a church one time, just was in a hollering distance of where I was raised, Union. And it's a great big church, too. And I remember God laid a message on my heart. It was there all my life and was there a long time. That's where my mama got saved at, was there at Union. I know I'm right. I'm trying to find there's ain't even. But that's where mama got saved at. So that church has been there years ago. And you know, God laid a message. There's a reason that God built that house that big. Now, even though God didn't build it with his hands, but people had a vision of how big that house needed. I've pastored churches that wouldn't hold Maple Grove, where my wife is a member at. I mean, if you cram them up and jam them in, you might get 110 in there. And then some of them's going to be sitting in the little side chairs we pull out on the side. I pastored there for a few years. It's a small church. But it's don't sit too far out from Fountain Run. There's a few churches, you know, there's a reason they built it, the size they built it. And I tried to encourage them. Union had got way down and small. But this is my point I was going to make. We'll have that many in day service, and you have a night service, and you'll do good to get 50 there. You'll do good sometimes to get 30 there. On Wednesday nights, you'll sure enough do good to get that many there. And you may say, listen, I'm not fussing at you. I'm talking about where I pastor. I'm talking about my home church. And you may say, well, preacher, what's the point? My point is, are we slothful? Is our hands slothful? You see, Wednesday night service is just as important as Sunday. It's just as important. You may say, well, I ain't got time. What is it we can't let go of? I thought about the boy, and I made mention of him today. His dad, he never calls me on Sunday. We work together, and he's sort of He's sort of kind of over me, I guess, a little bit in a way. I'm just supposed to be part-time. He's full-time. Ain't neither one of us a boss, you know. But somebody's got to do the stuff all the time. So I just said, hey, you're full-time. You be the man, you know, and I'll just do whatever you tell me now. And ain't that easy to do? It's the easiest way out, ain't it? He thought I was giving him authority. What I was doing is taking the easy way out. I'm being honest with you. The easy way out is let somebody else do it, ain't it? Let the preacher take care of getting everything. Let the deacons take care of everything. They'll be there on Wednesday night. It's not my duty. Listen, if you're, and I don't know who's a member here and who ain't a member here, but wherever you're a member at, you've got a duty, you see, to that people. I've thought a lot of people, they'll say, well, you know, I can't miss. And my wife could tell you this. She's here tonight. And boy, God's blessed me with a good wife. I appreciate that. She's been faithful to me. She's kept my clothes ready to go. She's always been supportive of me. I'm thankful for that. But you may say, Brother Tim, what are you saying? And a lot of people don't understand this. There was a time there that I'd pastored my home church. I'll try to hurry through this if I can. But that's the first church I ever pastored. I was there 7 years. Do you know God told me about 3 years in that I could stay 7 years and I'd have to leave? Well, at the time, that didn't bother me much. I thought, well, I've still got 4 years. I was about 20. That's the way you think, ain't it, when you're in your 20s. Time don't really, you don't grasp it maybe as well. But I would have probably been 22 when I started pastoring there. And so I would have been 3 years in. I'd have been 25. And God said I was going to get to stay 7, so that's 4 more years. I'm going to be 29 when I leave. So that's a long time away. You know, I sort of forgot about what the Lord told me that third year in. Never really even thought about it. Now, I didn't go to them when the Lord told me that and say, now listen, y'all got to vote me in for 4 more years because the Lord's then told me I'm staying here for 7 years whether you want me or not. I didn't say a thing to them. Didn't nobody know what the Lord had told me. But I knew what God had let me know, you see. And I just let it go. And after a year or two, I never even gave it no thought until the 7th year rolled around. You know what God done? God jarred my memory. He said, this is your last year. Now you've got to give them up after this year. And I thought, boy, Lord, that's gone awful fast. 7 years has just rolled. It was handy. I was living just at that time, me and Carrie Jo would have been living at the old home place where is that my son-in-law and daughter live now, just a mile out the road. Boy, it's almost like a parsonage, you know. I mean, it wasn't, but what I'm saying is it was that close. I mean, it was just 2-minute drive. You could be running late and still get there on time. I mean, that's the way it was that close. And I thought, Lord, where am I going? He hadn't told me where I was going. But when God said go, I knew it was time to go. Them old sisters, I don't know why I'm telling all this to you. Them old sisters had come around to me when I give them up. I guess it was just the week right after revival. Usually our revival's in June. And I told them, I said, church, this is, now when Pastor Colin comes, I'm you can't vote me back in. I'm done. The Lord's told me I'm done. I've got to go. I've got to move on. That's where I was a member at. And I thought, what did I need to do, Lord? Where did I need to go? And I didn't have nowhere else to pastor. The Lord didn't send me nowhere for a whole year. I was just, and you know, a lot of people thought I needed to come back to my home church. But you know, God wouldn't let me. I just pastored them for 7 years. They'd called somebody else new. I needed to let him be their pastor. And I had to move on. And I'd get up on Sunday morning. There we was. By that time, we just had one kid by that time. And we ain't got but two, but I mean, the first one was the only one born. And I thought, what are we going to do? My wife would get up, and she's a school teacher, was a school teacher, and she's an organizer, you know. And she needed to know the night before where we was going. And I didn't always know. I just didn't. I'd get to my prayer place. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't know where. But some people say, what are you saying? God would say, sometimes early in the week, but sometimes it'd be Sunday morning. I can use you here. You need to visit over there today. Now, I'm still a member at Fountain Run. But you know, listen, God showed me this. Now, I'm not giving you an excuse not to show up at your home church. But I will say this. There may be some Sunday mornings that y'all may have some young preachers in here that preach somewhere else. You know what God might say to you? You need to go support that young preacher this morning. I can use you there. He might do that. You know what you better do? you better call Brother Jerry or get somebody word and say, listen, the Lord sent me over here to support Brother so-and-so this morning. We won't be there, but we'll be a praying for y'all. There's a difference in not showing up for 3 weeks or a month and not saying nothing, just pulling out on people. What happens is, see, well, I know I'm scattered everywhere, but see, what happens is you ask people that's been out of church for a month, you want to hear some excuses, buddy. They've got them. They're always, I'm not saying people don't, I'm not saying that. But it's amazing to me they can't be at church on Sunday morning. But son, when the district or the regional tournament rolls around, somehow or another they find strength to get up and make it out to the ball games. I'm telling you, you may say, preacher, you're being a smart aleck. What I'm saying is we're slothful about the things that we want to be slothful about. We do, my wife said this one time, and it sort of stuck with me. We do pretty much what we want to do, don't we? I mean, and I'm bad. Uncle Wayne mentioned I was raised around sports all my life. I helped coach at Glasgow Girls system up there, a young coach that I thought a lot of, and he asked me to help him. I helped him for 4 years up there. And I still enjoy sports. I really do. I enjoy hunting. I really do. And I like guns. I got lots of them. I got too many of them, really. But what happened is I see one I ain't got. And I think, boy, that might be worth something someday. I could leave that to my son. I could leave that to my grandchildren. And you know what I'll do? I'll work overtime. I'll save and I'll scrounge up a little here and there and yonder. I'll keep awaiting. This is what I've done this time. My family knows I like it enough for my Christmas and for my birthday. And then Father's Day's not too far. I mean, that's not Christmas. My birthday's in March, Christmas December, Father's Day's in June. And usually between my mom-in-law and my daughter and my son and my wife, I mean, they get me gift cards to the gun shop. And I'll save them up. I'll pull them up. And they don't like to see me rolling in up there. But I'll get my eye on something and I'll save up for it. And I'll go up there and get it. And lots of times it's not. My wife will say, do you need that? And it ruins everything. Well, no, I don't need it. I don't need it. I could get by. I've got more than I need now. But you want it, don't you? We get to where we want it. My point is this. We'll do whatever it takes to get what we want. Naturally speaking, but what will we do spiritually? What will we do spiritually? Boy, we're not slothful when it comes to getting, if we know we're going on a vacation. There's another thought. My family, my brother's here tonight. We've never been nowhere much. Me and him could tell you, we never go on a family vacation that I remember, ever. I mean, that wasn't a thing. A family vacation was not a thing when we was growing up. And I don't look down on my mom and dad for that. You just worried about getting your backer crop put out, keeping it clean through the summer, and getting it laid by, and then getting it topped, and getting it cut, and getting it in the barn, and hope it hurry up and cure out for cold weather, and you could get it stripped up before Christmas and get your backer money. Some of y'all can relate to that. You young folks ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, it wasn't about where we going on vacation. It was about how good is our backer crop going to be. Did you know this is what I remember my mom and dad, some of y'all, this is for credit card days. This was before the little sliding things that you could, they knew how much money you had in the bank. And they knew whether your account was good or not. You'd go into D&H grocery store and mom and dad didn't have the money to pay. You know what they'd do? They'd write her down on the charge account. Just say, put that on my account. That's all you had. Didn't have to have a credit card. Didn't have to show them your driver's license. Didn't have to show them all this ID stuff. You just say, if you don't care, charge it. They'd write it down. And you know, when dad would get paid, you know where we'd go? Listen, town for me, we live 3 miles from Fountain Run, the place he mentioned. If you ain't never been to Fountain Run, you ought to make about a 45-minute, 50-minute drive up there sometime. Little old community, it's where I was raised, though. And I'll tell you what God done one night. I've said this lots of times. I don't know why he would, but one night he came down around that little place, and he heard a little 9-year-old boy's prayer. That night I was not slothful. I wanted him more than I wanted anything else. And I forgot all about the ball. I forgot all about the hunting. I forgot all about wanting to be like Dad. I forgot all about wanting to have more money growing up. I wanted this man Jesus to take the burden that was in my soul away. And I heard he could do it. And when I got to where I believed he could do it, and I repented toward God and had faith in his precious son and the work that he done at Calvary, I'm telling you, that quick, all of that went away. And I got something that night that gave me peace in my soul. If you're here tonight and you don't know what it is, I know I've rambled around a lot maybe. If you don't know what that peace is, I'm telling you, you do not know what living truly is. Your bank account may never get below. It may never get below six digits. If you don't have God, you are not living. Your mom and dads may buy you every toy, every present that you'd ever want. If you don't have God in your heart, you do not know. This is what the Bible said about it. He said, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world? If he gained the whole world, not part of the world, not Warren County, not Bowling Green, not this 10 region area that we consider a Barren River area development, whatever that, you know, it's sort of the district that I work for in the highway department. I believe I think we were 10 counties. I seen Phil come in. We were 10 counties, I believe, is what there was. And we run from Todd County clear to Monroe, I think, was as far east as we went, maybe. But there was 10 counties that we covered in our district, not just Kentucky. He said, what would a man profit if he gained the whole world? The whole world. The whole kit and caboodle. Everything. If you gain all of that and you lose your own soul, what's it profiting? So if you labor and you work, you think about this. Think about that rich man back there. I believe it was a parable that the Lord had in one place, and he said the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Said his ground brought forth plentifully. And he said, what am I going to do with all these goods? And I may not quote all this word for word, so don't you, I can look it up for you if you want us to. But it said, the ground of that man brought forth, and he said, what will I do? He said, I'll tear down my old barns, and I'll build greater barns, and I'll store all this back, and I'll say to my soul, take thine ease. Let's eat and drink. We'll be merry. Got many goods laid up for many days. You know, that's the way most people are. That boy I work with, I started to say that a while ago, he's a good boy. I believe he's a good Christian. I call him boy. He's probably 30 year old or close to it. Good Christian. But he called me and his heart was broke when I talked to him. I knew he never did call me on Sundays about work. He's never done that unless he gets some of his family gets sick or something. So I know something had to be up. I called him. And I didn't know what was going on. I said, Cole, what's happening? I seen where I missed your call. I could tell by his voice. He began to cry. He said, tell my family, my dad this morning. You know what happened? He forgot all about work. You realize how that people will, and I'm a man of habit, I guess. And if we've been going in at work at 6:30, don't change me to 7:30. It messes everything up, don't it? Y'all may not be that way, but I get in a routine. I know what time I need to get up. I go and get my little cup of coffee, and I eat my little breakfast, and I get in my truck, and I head to work, and everything's good. But when things routine starts, but listen, when tragedy comes and death comes, all of a sudden that stuff seems so minor. The workplace that you think you need to be at on time, and you do. If they hired you, but this is what, ain't this the way people is? I used to work with a boy at this same place. He said, I don't make enough money. I said, how much did you hire on for? He said, well, I've got a raise or two since then. Wait a minute. Don't fuss about how much money you're making. If you hired on and agreed to the wage they was paying you, don't. You may say, but preacher, that ain't fair. It is fair. You agreed to work that many hours for that much pay. You have no right to grumble. I don't either. He got to look. See, what he got to looking at was what everybody else was making. You can't look at what everybody else is making. It's about what you're making. See, what happens to people, thank you, Lord, for the thought. What happens to people spiritually, we look at how everybody else is doing. I've been to church more often than they have. They missed two Wednesday nights ago. They missed last Sunday. I ain't missed. I've been there every Sunday morning. You know what it does? It makes us feel better about ourselves. And yet we justify. We justify. You may say, Brother Tim, your message. He said through the slothfulness, idleness of hands, he said the building decayeth. And I look around. I'm not saying tonight. If I ain't careful, somebody take this message the wrong way, and you'll go home saying, boy, that preacher's beat us to death, and he thinks we ain't no good. Listen, we're all in this together. It's not no big I's and little U's. We're in this work together. But I'm a-seeing in the day we're living in, God's people's getting an opportunity to take back a hold. God's people's getting an opportunity. Listen, we've just sat idly by for years. I'm talking about the church. You know what's happened? Through the idleness of hands and through the slothfulness, the building's decaying. You may say, well, preacher, this building's in a lot better shape than it was 50 years ago, but I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the church, the picture of the church as a whole, the power, the Spirit of God that dwelt in our midst. I've said this, you can have the fine buildings and you can have the glass windows, and most places have those now. But you may say, but preacher, are you saying something's wrong with that? Not whatsoever. But what we need is the power of God. And the way that comes is through prayer and supplication, not slothfulness of the spiritual hands. And I thought about what Nehemiah, my mind went back there to those gates, and that got to weighing on him so, he got so burdened down. See, lots of people think today that you need to go, our countenance, I'm not saying you need to be going around as an old sour person all the time, but boy, I'm telling you, we're living in a time, this is what God, I'm going to quote you Bible. Some people ain't, they think the preacher needs to come in every Sunday morning with a big smile and just, all that, I call it fakey stuff, but I mean, you call it whatever you want to. I'm telling you, I cannot smile at you every Sunday morning. Hey, some Sunday mornings, my heart is heavy. It's broke. And I don't want to mistreat you, but my heart is heavy and it's burdened down. And God's what laid a message there all week long. And I'm needing to get rid of it. Did you? And I'm not, listen, I love good singing. Ain't nobody loves singing any better than I do. But I have been places, I'm sure these other preachers have too. They've sung the message plumb out of me. Sung it plumb out of me. Ain't nothing wrong with good singing. It all works together. But there comes a time that God's people need to hear God's word, you see. Lost sinners need to hear God's word. And what we must do, you may say, but preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying we don't need to be slothful. What we need to do is take a hold. Nehemiah said this. Nehemiah said back there when he, and I won't go through all that, but if you remember, I believe Nehemiah was the king. Was he not the cupbearer for the king? I'm pretty sure I'm right in that. It's been a while since I read that. But he was the cupbearer. So he was, every day he was in the presence of the king. And you know what happened? As he walked in the presence of the king saw his countenance. And he saw his countenance had fallen. And he began to inquire, what's wrong? And this ain't word for word, but what's the matter with you? Something's wrong with you. You're not the saint. You're not acting like you always do. What's the matter? You know what Nehemiah said? Nehemiah said, that place back yonder where I'm from, it used to be such a wonderful place. It used to be such a glorious city. Walls around it. But it's fallen through. The gates are burned down. And the old king gave him leave. You remember? And Nehemiah got over there and tried to, he had people already that he had got message to that he was coming. And they had got a few rounded up, didn't he? Just a few. See, a lot of people like them big crowds. But it took just a few. I like the big crowds. Somebody said, boy, you're preaching against big churches. I ain't preaching against big churches. I wished there was 1,000 here tonight. Not because I didn't come down here for the plates you passed. I won't set that straight right now, and I believe you know that. I did not come for that. But I tell you what I come for, because God put a love in my heart to want to leave his message with his people and with a lost and dying world to tell you there's a hope. There's a hope that we can still see the days that Uncle Wayne was talking about. There's a hope. People say, boy, they're gone. They're not gone. God's still the same. He's still on the throne tonight. You know what it'll take, though? It'll take just like them old-timers. People say, but I don't have time. You tell me how in the world that our forefathers, that most of them were ignorant and unlearned, and I say that lovingly, not in any way to slur, but most of them didn't make it out of grade school, but they worked and labored from the dawning of the sun to the setting of the sun with their hands. But when church time comes and revival time come, they would park the old mules in the barn and they'd go to God's house because they knew they needed God more than they needed anything else. And if God didn't bless the crops they was putting out, they was goners anyway. So the best thing they could do is stay in tune with God and be a worker for him. Now what we say is, well, let's see. Let's put God over here. Let's be sure we work and make our money with whatever occupation we got. And if we get time somewhere in there, we'll put God back in our life. That won't work. I'm just a warning any of you young people here tonight that's thinking right now, and I'll try to hush, but any of you young people that's a thinking, boy, if I can ever get my life lined out, if I can get my college finished, and I tell you what you better do, you better have him in the dorm room with you. I tell you what you better do, you better take him to your part-time job with you. I tell you what you better do. You may say, boy, preacher, I'm just telling you, I didn't go to college. I'm glad my wife did. I didn't go. Backed out. You know why I backed out? Because the Lord gave me something else to do. Give me something else to do. You may say, boy, that was, I don't know how to explain it to you, and I won't go into all the details. Some of you heard it before. But he just let me know it wasn't time for me to go there. And he gave me a little old job right in my hometown. Just opened up a window about 2 weeks before I was supposed to go. The only reason I was going, I'm going to be real honest with you, I was going because I had an opportunity to play college ball. It's the only reason I was going. I didn't have a clue what I wanted to be. Didn't have a clue what I wanted to do. I just was going to have an opportunity to play some college ball, and that was my main concern. And you know what I didn't do? I never even inquired with the Lord whether I should go or not. I thought, man, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to show them people an old boy can slide right out of the country, and he can play. I worked out all summer long. Run, kept myself in, I thought, pretty good condition. And I was looking so forward to going. And then God just sort of jerked at my heart a little bit and said, have you talked to me about this? And it made me realize. My mom and dad never pushed me. They was tickled for me, but they never pushed me. Anyway, never. And I begin to inquire of the Lord, and all of a sudden, God begins to touch my heart, and he begins to say, I'll make a way for you. It's not right for you right now. I'm like, but Lord, I can play college ball, but it's not right for you right now. One of the better, Danville Center College was at that time in the early 80s a great college, they said. But God began to deal with me. And he said, I'll make a way. He didn't say, hey, I'd make a way. But you know what he done? About 2 weeks before I left, was supposed to leave, job opening, come up down there at the little bank. I went down there to sort of interview and talk, see what, and ended up staying, taking that job. I didn't stay there, but about a year I seen, I guess I got greedy again. But I was making more money at the slaughterhouse than what them bankers was making. And I just went back to work at the slaughterhouse. But God made a way through all that. And I finally got back in, I got in the highway department and construction and engineering. Never had no college. Never had no college. I'm not saying this tonight bragging. I'm not telling you I'm a millionaire. But what my wife's salary never did get above mine. And her with a master, no. Yeah. Rank one, whatever it is, and she got all that in their teaching. And I'm not saying that to belittle her. I'm just saying I didn't know what transportation engineer technologist made. I didn't know what it was, but that's what I became. Somebody said, "Preacher, you just got lucky." No, I didn't get lucky. God was watching over me, and he put me in a place. You know what I could do? I had plenty. We build up days in government jobs. You build up days. You know, I didn't realize that the Lord, when I got in that, the Lord's going to call me to preach. But people would call and say, "Can you do my mama's funeral?" Did you know if you're working at one of these factories out here and you say, "Hey, I got to be off tomorrow for a funeral," you know what they're going to do? You're going to be docked that day pay. And if you have about three of them in a week, you're probably going to be that right there. You're going to be gone. They're not going to put up with it. You're going to be gone. You know why? Because they don't want to hire people. It's going to be slothful. They don't understand about the Lord's work. It's not about the Lord's work to them. It's about making, let's stay in the black. We gotta have a prophet. And that's the way the world thinks, is we gotta have a prophet. But I guess my point tonight, and I can't get done, seems like, but my point is, what are we profiting spiritually? Is our hands slothful spiritually? He said, through the idleness of hands, through the slothfulness, the building decayeth. And the building on the outside looks good, but what kind of shape are we spiritually in here? People, I tell them, at where I pastor, we never know who's going to walk through those doors back there. You never know, especially in a big town like this, you never know who's going to come in. That's why we ought to be in the best shape we could possibly be in spiritually, and keep God's presence around us so near that when those people come in, they may not know the Lord, but they can feel his presence and know. Listen, you may say, "But boy, preacher, you ain't done me much good." Now, I may not, but at least I've got off my heart what the Lord's laid there. The Bible said that they looked at, I believe it was Peter and John, and they knew they were ignorant and unlearned men. They knew they were just ignorant and unlearned men. But you know what it said? It said they took knowledge of them, that they had been with the Lord. They took knowledge. Because Peter and John, they left, though, remember? They left their nets. Mending their nets, that's what they were doing when the Lord came by and said, "Follow me." They left their nets and they followed the Lord. They weren't slothful in their natural work, but all of a sudden they see a need to become a worker for the Lord. And I'm saying we're in a time as God's people, and I know it seems like I've been around everything else, but we're in a time as God's people, not just here at Fairview Memorial. It's at Caney Fork. It's at Fountain Run. It's at every other little church scattered through the country where God's people are still gathering in. It's not good enough to just say, "Thank you, Lord." It's not good enough just to say, "Well, we're old-time Baptists. We're going to always be here." That won't cut it. What makes a difference is, are we really getting to work for the Lord? Is our hands really getting in, taking hold? Are we really seeing the need and having that zeal and having that vision great enough that our hearts get heavy and say, "Lord, help us. Help us. Help us to build the house. Help us to build the walls. Help us, Lord, to hold you up that they can see how great that you really are." I know tonight the message has been awful scattered. I know tonight that maybe it might not be what you come to hear. But I know this tonight. We're living in a day that spiritually, God's people, we're slothful. We're slothful. We won't say, "Let somebody else do it." Listen, in those days that Wayne was talking about when his daughter got saved down there, and we still have those services every once in a while. We still have them. I'm sure you still have them here. I'm sure you do. But it's just every once in a while, ain't it? I'm not fussing at you. I'm being honest with you. We still have them every once in a while, Caney Fork. Every once in a while. But do you know we could have them more regular than that? If we would just lay aside some of the things of the world and say, "Lord, I want to be a worker for you. What will you have me do?" Somebody said, "Preacher, you just don't understand my life." I may not understand your life, but I know the Lord does. And if you'll ask him, and if you'll truly desire his will in your life, he'll put you where you need to be. He'll make a way that you can be a worker for him, and that you can use your hands to lift him up. And I'm not talking, I'm just not talking about natural hands. I'm talking about the spiritual hands. And I hope tonight that you, I hope there's something in the message that you can take home with you and say, Lord, help me. If I've been slothful and my hands have been idle, spiritually speaking, help me, Lord, to take back a hold of you. Help me, God, to take your word and to be more zealous in desiring your will in my life and instead of my will in my life. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, boy, I'd say this to you. I know I ain't preached much to lost people tonight, but I'd say this to you. If you don't know this man, Jesus, you better get to know him. Because we are living down in the eve of time. And I don't know when that day will come, but it's a coming. And he's a coming back. And you better find yourself ready. You better find yourself prepared. There's a lot there that I didn't get to, but that's as far as God's going to let me travel tonight. I don't know anybody's heart here. But I'd say if God's touching your heart, and there's something, I don't know, y'all, I'll just give away here to Brother Jerry, and y'all can do ever how y'all normally do. But I say if God's stirring your heart, and maybe you have been slothful on the Lord, and I feel like doing this right here, it's all right. Heart and you just feel like you need to come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. My hands has been idle and I've been awful slothful in your work. And I want to get back to work, Lord. I want to have that vision that Nehemiah had. I want to be a builder and I want to be a worker. The Lord is touching your heart and stirring you to come here in great name and thank you. This place is not just for a lost people. This is a place that the Lord meet with his people. The services I'm talking about, sinners would come and bow on the altar or maybe around over here, and the church would gather in around them and get to praying and calling on God, and you couldn't tell who was lost and who was saved. I mean, the people gathering and calling on the Lord. But you know what happened? God would hear that cry and his power come down, and here in a little bit somebody'd raise up and they'd say, the Lord saved me. And they'd go to rejoicing over there, and these on this side would go to pulling that much harder and to praying, oh God, please come down around this one and lift them up and set them on the solid rock. And in a little while, this one would come up from there, a shouting and a telling about what, boy? You know what that means? That means somebody ain't been slothful. That means somebody's been doing some work for the Lord. I want to be a worker. That's the little message tonight. I hope and pray that we can take our hands, whatsoever the message, I guess I preached in my church where a pastor, whatsoever your hands find to do it with all your might. Let's get busy. I'm not pointing fingers. I said less. That's me and you. Let's get busy finding more time to do God's will, finding more time to lay aside and read that book. It's the greatest book it's ever, and I don't even like to read. I don't even know what I've done with it. Set it over here. Listen, I don't like to read. I still don't like to read. I never have liked to read. This right here is the best book you'll ever open up. This is the best book you'll ever open up. Everything's in here. People say, I don't know what need. This has happened to me, and I don't know what I need to do. I guarantee you, this right here has got an answer for it. If you'll just look to God and trust him, it's got an answer. It may not be the answer you want to hear all the time, but he's got an answer if we'll just be willing to not be slothful, but get busy. Whatsoever your hands find to do. Nehemiah said, the Lord strengthened our hands for the great work. God will give our hands strength if we'll just desire to not be slothful and idle. That's the message. That's as far. Go ahead, Brother Jerry. May God bless you. I appreciate the privilege to be here tonight. I really do. I appreciate what I've been able to feel. And let's just serve the Lord.
Amen. I appreciate the message.